You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at ReadyMadeResources.com. Hi, Preppers and Patriots. This is a recording of my recent appearance on the Hagman Report. Enjoy the show.
We're going to be joined this hour by Mark Goodwin. He's a Christian constitutional author with a host of popular Prepper Recon podcast and interviews with patriots, preppers, and economists each week on PrepperRecon.com. He's been a guest on the Hagman Daily Show with John and myself, and John is sitting in for my dad to do this interview with me, and we are going to jump right in as Mark is with us. John, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you bring Mark on.
Well, Joe, thank you so much, and greetings and God's blessings to our listeners this evening. Happy Friday, March 23rd. Mark Goodwin, my goodness, where to begin? So most of our listeners know that I love to read, as do the Hagmans. It's a big thing around the Hagman Report. We're voracious readers. And I guess it was, Joe, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I stumbled onto the immense, prolific work of Mark Goodwin, PrepperRecon.com, and I have enjoyed a number of his titles on Audible. So one of the great perks of having such an amazing blessing for a job is I was able to reach out to Mark, and Mark joined us last year for an hour on the Hagman Report. It was an excellent piece, and I would encourage our listeners to go back and check that out in archive if they were not with us when we did the piece live. Okay, so let me break this down, and then Mark will bring you right in. But one of my favorite genres of writing, back in 2009, we started hearing the term faction. And faction is spinning a fictional plot, a page turner, a heart pounder, around a factual basis. So your plot devices are based around current events, world events, all the political skullduggery and corruption, etc. So we saw books in the mid-2000s, 2007, 8, 9, like William Forstchen's One Second After, the Patriot series by James Wesley Rawls. Excellent books. I can recommend both of those writers. The Overton Window by Glenn Beck, another very good piece of faction. Mark Goodwin's work is in a category all by itself, and I'll tell you why. Because what Mark has successfully accomplished, particularly with his series Days of Noah and then Days of Elijah, is actually taking faction, taking a dystopic world, a dystopic society, a world without rule of law, compelling characters, and then rather than driving the plots just through politics or through corruption, he's actually successfully done so through his interpretation of biblical prophecy and eschatology. And I am telling you, I've blazed through 11 of these books. They are incredible. Mark, jump on in. Welcome to the Hagman Report. Let's talk for a few minutes about your work, and then you and Joe and I will have some fun picking on all the swamp monsters.
Joe, John, thanks so much for having me back on. It was great talking to you guys a couple weeks back on the Hagman Daily Show. Really, really enjoyed that, and I'm just so honored to be back on today for the night edition.
Well, we are pleased and certainly blessed and honored to welcome you back. Mark, let's clue our listeners into how you got started. Now, everyone can go to PrepperRecon.com, and you will see an immense number of titles, as I mentioned a moment ago. But, Mark, there must have been a moment where you realized that you had that confluence I mentioned a moment ago. You knew that you could tell a good story, and, brother, you can. And, of course, there's an immense hunger for dystopic fiction. People are very curious. What would life be like, not if, but when, for example, we see the U.S. economy implode, these undeclared wars in perpetuity, etc. Was there a moment when you realized, wait, if I take this and I apply Bible prophecy accurately, then I've really got something. Tell us about that, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really rocket science. If you read the headlines and you're well versed in the Bible, which I think everybody needs to be, you know, and you can't depend on your pastors to educate you on the Bible. I think that people should have to read the Bible cover to cover before they can ever even step foot in a church, because, you know, then you'll have the discernment to know if you're being lied to or not. But that's a completely another topic. I was sitting in church. I had just quit a job that I hated. It was an accounting job, and I had a really, really rough boss. And I was really praying about where God wanted me to go next. And I'd started Prepper Recon, so, you know, I was already on this sort of preparedness path. And I'm not sure if I'd started the podcast. Yeah, I'd started the podcast already. I started Prepper Recon just as a blog, and then it kind of morphed into a podcast. And I was praying about it, what God wanted me to do next. And I sort of had this story bouncing around in my head, but I thought, you know, that's going to be a big undertaking. It's going to consume a lot of time, and it's just not something that that I can really devote a whole lot of attention to right now, because this is going to be, you know, sort of spinning my wheels. And we're sitting in church one day, and the pastor stops just sort of mid-sentence in the middle of the sermon and says, somebody out there's got a book bobbing around in their head, and you need to go home and you need to start writing it today. And, well, this is a mega church in Fort Lauderdale, and the sanctuary seats almost 4,000 people, 3,800, I believe is what it was. So I'm thinking, not only do I have, you know, multiple people watching on the internet, there's over 3,000 other people sitting in the sanctuary with me. So this message could be for anybody. But I thought, just in case it's for me, I'm going to go home and start writing that book. And, you know, now I'm finishing up my my 17th novel and 19th wow. book. So you know, retrospectively, I think that message could have been for me.
Yeah, maybe. Well, we call that a God shot, Mark, for sure. Now, I hope this doesn't make you uncomfortable, but this is for the benefit of our listeners. So bear with me, Mark. I just want to give our listeners just a little tiny taste of what Days of Noah is all about. And I cannot emphasize enough that these works of fiction are different from any other survivalist, prepper, end of the world as we know it genre I've read. And I've read, you know, a few. So bear with me, Mark. I'm going to read verbatim just a little bit about Days of Noah. And we can talk about it for a moment or two. We'll talk a little bit about your new title coming out. And yes, I did get a little sneak peek at that. Thank you for that, Mark. And then with your permission, Joe and I want to just play a little game of ping pong with you and talk about the madness going on. I know over at Prepper Recon, you just brought in a two-parter titled appropriately, Division Over Gun Rights, Pushing America Closer to Civil War. And we're going to want to talk about that. But first, Days of Noah, quote, in an off-site CIA facility outside of Langley, rookie analyst Everett Carroll discovers he's not being told the whole truth. He's instructed to disregard troubling information uncovered by his research. Everett ignores his directive and keeps digging. What he finds goes against everything he's been taught to believe. Unfortunately, his curiosity doesn't escape the attention of his superiors, and it may cost him his life. Meanwhile, Tennessee public school teacher Noah Parker, like many in the United States, has been asleep at the wheel. During his complacency, the founding precepts of America have been systematically destroyed by a conspiracy that dates back hundreds of years. Cassandra Parker, Noah's wife, has diligently followed end times prophecy and the shifting tide against freedom in America. Noah has tried to avoid the subject, but when charges are filed against him for deviating from the approved curriculum in his school, he quickly understands the seriousness of the situation. The signs can no longer be ignored, and Noah is forced to prepare for the cataclysmic period of financial and political upheaval ahead. Mark, for the benefit of our listeners again, what exactly does Noah Parker get in trouble for as he's teaching school in Tennessee?
Oh, he deviates from the I think it's not called Common Core in the book. It's called Community Core, but he deviates from the mandated Community Core standards, and he mentions something about there being a designer that created everything, you know. And they just can't have that at this stage of the game, because this is, you know, this is a near future novel. And at that point, you're just not allowed to say stuff like that in the classroom. So he's hauled downtown for that, actually. And it sets off a firestorm. You know, the community gets involved, and they protest it and everything. But in the meantime, you know, because it's considered a crime against children, because he's telling children that there's a God. You know, DCF comes to his home. They end up taking his kid away. His wife freaks out. She almost gets involved in a firefight with DCF to keep from her child from being taken away. And, you know, and I wrote this with all these types of things, these sort of precursors that are happening in our country that are sort of foreshadowing all of this stuff, because I think that's where we're going. And, you know, I was a big fan of the Left Behind series. Love that series. I read all of them. Love Tim LaHaye's work and all of that. But I worry about the folks, and I'm not saying that if you're a pre-tribber, I'm not saying you're wrong. I wrote this more or less to the pre-trib church to say, you could be right in your theology and your eschatology. You could be right. I see some things in the Bible that say that you know, the pre-trib rapture, that's possible. And I also see some things that sound a little more mid-trib in there as well. But I just want to say to the pre-tribbers, you could be right, and things could get very, very dicey before we're called home. And I just want them to think about that, and I want them to be prepared for troubling times, because, you know, I think we talked about this on The Daily Show. You know, Coach Joe Kennedy didn't get called home to Jesus before he lost his job. Sweet Cakes Bakery didn't get called home to Jesus before they were sued out of business. You know, Kim Davis went to jail for her faith in America and did not get called home to Jesus, you know, in a pre-trib rapture. And, you know, we could still have a pre-trib rapture, but we could still be faced with the same types of persecution that Christians in China and North Korea and the Middle East are faced with before that happens.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, campingsurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at campingsurvival.com. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com.
Well, indeed, you know, this is a bit grim, and I apologize, particularly it being third hour on a Friday. And for those joining us mid-program, our special guest this hour is Mark Goodwin, founder and host of Prepper Recon and mega prolific author. Right now we're talking about the Days of Noah series that then segues into the Days of Elijah series, but I digress. A little bit grim. Mark, did you know that our Christian brothers and sisters in North Korea are often condemned to life working either in salt mines or coal mines? They are never permitted to absorb the sun and the vitamin D therein, and they are actually slow killed due to vitamin D deficiency by the powers that be in North Korea, and they haven't been raptured out of here either. They are literally dying day by day due to lack of vitamin D, Mark, to lack of sunlight.
That's absolutely horrific. And then our brothers and sisters in China are often imprisoned. And, you know, if somebody happens to need a lung or a liver or a kidney or something like that, they're often involuntary organ donors for those types of things. And I worked that into, you know, I know that you've gotten the first book of the Avis Crucible, but in that series, I worked that in to where we actually see that in America where Christians are being imprisoned and, you know, people that have lived more profligate lifestyles and need a kidney or a liver or a heart because they haven't really taken care of themselves. Well, they've got all these healthy Christians over here that other than, you know, coffee and donuts are pretty healthy and you know, and they've got some good kidneys and livers and things like that for transplants. So, you know, I don't think that's something that we can say will never – don't ever say it'll never happen here because it might.
It very well might. We see all the things that – you know, you think, oh, that can never happen here, ever. And we see slowly but surely they continue to chip away at the Constitution. And then at some point, when you think about an end time scenario, all rules will be off the table and it will be all skewered for the Antichrist. And anybody who believes in Jesus will be hunted down like a dog. And this is the future that we face. But, Mark, I want to ask you this. We see so much of this, you know, one of the things that is so front and center, I believe, in the battle that we are fighting that never gets addressed, especially in the mainstream, nor will it ever, is that this is a, first and foremost, a spiritual battle. And we see so much of, you know, from the left, the pro-abortion, the pro-baby murder, that they push this as a constitutional right, yet they are able to attack something like the Second Amendment as some big evil thing. And part of the American public buys it. How long until this constant information and psychological warfare takes the toll on the American people's psyche and you start to see a majority of people who believes like this? How long do you think until we see something like that?
I think we're probably already at that tipping point. I think that a lot of them are still in school age and they haven't reached voting age yet. But as the older generation dies out and are no longer voting because they're dead, and as the newer generation comes of age, I think we're already at that tipping point. I think that we may be Donald Trump may be the last Republican president. I think we've already hit that. And you mentioned about abortion, and 3,288 children a day are slaughtered in abortion mills, and there's zero outrage. So, you know, if the American church will take that and not speak up and not stand up and not vote and not say anything about it and not you know, pour every dollar they've got into, you know, fighting this thing in the political realm, because that's politics. You know, abortion is politics. That's people's lives every day that are being murdered more than were killed at 9/11 and Sandy Hook and Parkland and all of those put together. Every single day, and there's zero outrage. So if we'll tolerate that, what won't we tolerate? You know, I think that, you know, to have Christians locked up and have their organs involuntarily donated like that, I think that that's not a stretch at all, because if we'll tolerate abortion, what won't we tolerate? And I'm not so sure that we'll even stand up when they come for the guns.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, many people are asking that question. If they do make, can they make a move on guns? And if they do, would there be any resistance? And, you know, so many people we've seen fall away. Even the churches themselves have fallen away from the truth. And then, as expected, the people after them. And that's why I agree with what you say. Nobody should be allowed in the church or to engage in debate at church till they actually read the Bible once. I think it would remove so much of the broken theology that we have in our church systems.
But well, would there be anybody in church, Joe?
Yeah. I want to ask you this, though. With what we see with the church and how they have themselves adopted this pro-abortion, pro-illegal immigration, anti-American sentiment, how are they going to be able to continue? Are they going to continue down this path of a broken church? And I guess are they even part of the Christian church if they start to take, you know, the teachings that Jesus left us with and turn them and turn away from them and adopt the opposite as their teachings? Can we even still consider them a Christian church? But what does it say about the religion here in America when the churches turn away from the truth?
In California, you know, we've had the mudslides out there, and there was a picture on one of the news stations, and it was a church where the entire thing had slid down the mountain. And the only thing that was left was just the front, the steeple and the doors and the wall. The rest of it was completely gone. And I thought, that's how prophetic that is to the American church right now, that there's nothing left but a facade. And behind that wall, there's nothing. It's just a mudslide that's all just gone. It's just been washed away. There's just nothing left there. It's just a hollow shell. And I think you're exactly right. I think there's a remnant out there. The folks that are listening to your show, the folks that diligently read their Bible every day, the folks that are standing up and trying to take a stand for freedom, for liberty, for the children that are being murdered every day. I think there is a remnant. I don't see I don't see the outrage. I don't see the ambition of the church in general as being anything more than that facade. And so I think you're right. I think that I think we can't really call it the church anymore. It's just this apostate social gathering is about what it is.
Well, you know, Mark, it's more than that. I would submit, because as your novels indicate, particularly Days of Noah, and then we move into Days of Elijah, and I'll be very careful not to give away too much here, but the church is a proven fertile ground for nothing short of the emergence of the false prophet and the Antichrist and the beast system. And I don't think it's giving away too much to say that, Mark, in these post-apocalyptic novels, you do a phenomenal job of not only demonstrating how frighteningly easily the world adopts the beast system and how debaucherous they immediately become. It's like all barriers have been flattened, have been removed, and now people can, anything goes, really, anything goes. The other thing I'd like to say quickly about your books, and then I want to talk for a minute about the Prepper Recon podcast, but I really appreciate the fact that you present a biblically sound, strong Christian theme and plot device through each novel. But Mark, you don't water down the scenes and scenarios. I mean, look, I came out of 16 years of Hollywood, so I've been a story-centric person most of my adult life. And one of the problems I've had, frankly, with Christian fiction, we saw yesterday on Drudge, Hollywood's big bet on Christian movies. And we've seen the enormous success of I Can Only Imagine, $17 million in the first weekend out. But a lot of Christian fiction waters down the ugly side, the sinful side, the realistic, terrestrial, demonic aspect of what we're dealing with today. And as Joe was saying a moment ago, what it looks like we are moving full throttle into here in the near future. Now, I want to bounce it back to you, Mark, but first I'd like to just mention for our listeners quickly a couple of titles to some of your recent podcasts, because I think it'll give our listeners an idea of the spectrum of the type of topics that you cover. You had Pastor Carl Gallup's on, Perilous Times, Mitigating Active Shooter and Plague Risk, Bugging Out in a Disaster, Training Your Dog to Be a Part of Your Preparedness Team, Hands That Shed Innocent Blood, that was a multi-part podcast. This one really piqued my interest, Escaping the Judgment of the Babylonian System. So, Mark, let's use that as a segue and talk a little bit about Prepper Recon and just the type of information that you're giving people who are exactly our listeners, frankly, on a regular basis.
Well, I really try to keep people tuned in to what's going on, the threats that really get washed over by the mainstream media, especially. You know, we had this story with the Russian spy, Sergei Skripal, his assassination that barely caught any traction in the news at all. I suppose we can call it an assassination at this point because, I mean, I know he's still alive, but there's no antidote for the nerve agent that he was hit with. And if he comes off life support, he'll soon pass. And I don't think they expect him to last much longer anyway, even with life support. But it led to the UK expelling 23 Russian diplomats. And, of course, Russia did the same. Essentially, sending people packing like that represents a complete breakdown in communications between those two countries. And, you know, we've got Trump's national security team now talking about evicting the Russian diplomats from America. And that's the type of thing that leads to war. That's usually the precursor to war. When you start calling home diplomats, expelling diplomats, closing embassies, things like that, that's usually the precursor to war. The Telegraph ran an article last week stating that the UK is four meals from anarchy in the event of a cyber attack by Russia on the UK's electrical grid. And, of course, that's true in America, too. And Ted Koppel's book, Lights Out, stated that Russia already has sleeper viruses in all of the U.S. SCADA systems and could shut down our grid at will. So no electricity means no banks, no grocery stores, no gas. It'll soon mean no communications, and it won't be long until law enforcement officers have to decide whether they're going to go defend the streets that are erupting in complete and total chaos or whether they're going to stay home and protect their own families. So that's not a joke, and that's not post-apocalyptic fiction. This is the type of stuff that we're looking at today as a possibility of what tomorrow could look like. And people aren't paying any attention, and they're not getting prepared. And that's the type of event that you either get prepared for it before it happens or not at all. And so that's what we try to do at Prepper Recon. We try to keep people, you know, abreast of the situations at hand and the things that are looming over us. You know, the economic situation in America is just dismal. We are on the precipice of absolute disaster right now. And people think it's good times are here again and there's nothing to worry about. But you know, like I said, you get ready before that event happens, or you don't get ready at all. And right now, the long-term storage food or survival food market, it's normalized from last year's hurricanes and stuff. So all of that stuff's available, and you can get it right now, and it's not a problem. But we don't know. We could wake up tomorrow, and that opportunity, that window could be closed. So I try to get people motivated to take action now while they still can.
Absolutely, you know, because there will come a time when we are unable to take that action or not in the best position or position we're in now. And, you know, you don't want to wait till that point comes before we do take action. But you mentioned the economy, and I want to ask you just the latest from today. We've seen so much backlash and different things about this latest spending bill. What's your take on what happened today?
Well, it's $1.3 trillion, the spending bill. I don't know that it even matters at this point because we're at $21 trillion in actual debt. Unfunded liabilities are just there. They're in the hundreds of trillions or approaching the hundreds of trillions. Let's say that interest rates normalize to 7%, which is probably a normal interest rate for the 30-year bond. That's $1.5 trillion annually in debt service alone. So the U.S. only takes in $3.4 trillion in tax revenues for 2018. That's about what we'll take in for tax revenues. So that's nearly half of our entire revenue just on interest payments if rates normalize. Now, let's say rates go to what they were back in the 80s, which is about 14%. Now we're talking about nearly $3 trillion annually. So that's almost our entire revenue just in interest payments. So the only way out of that is to raise taxes or just print money like there's no tomorrow. And that's where hyperinflation comes from. That's where we things that we've seen, like in the Weimar Republic, when people were going to the grocery store with wheelbarrows full of money, and the ruble collapse back in the 90s in Russia, and in the 2000 when Argentina's money collapsed, and we've just seen that over and over and over in the world, and I don't see any way to avoid it. So this $1.3 trillion, yeah, it's a big deal, but to not spend it, I don't know that it's going to make that big of a difference. You know, yeah, it's probably going to get us to the cliff faster, and our debtors are going to say, we just don't want to hold dollars anymore. We don't want to hold treasury notes anymore. We're going to dump them, and we're going to have a currency crisis. And that's something else that folks have to get prepared for. The same way that Pharaoh had the dream about the seven cows ugly and gaunt, you know, and that represented the 7 years of famine. And Joseph was able to lead Egypt into stockpiling food for that famine to get them through that rough time, those rough 7 years. Your listeners right now have the opportunity to start putting away and stockpiling for those hard times, because those hard times are coming. That's already baked into the cake, and whether we have the spending bill or not, they're going to come, and there's no way to avoid it, I don't think, at this point. So use this time of temporary prosperity right now to get ready, because the hard times are coming and it's unavoidable. That's the end of the first half of my recent appearance on the Hagman Report. Tune in next week for the rest of the show.
In the post-apocalyptic thriller, The Economic Collapse Chronicles, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, America is on the cusp of financial annihilation. Matt and Karen Baer thought they were prepared for anything, but can they survive a total collapse of the economic system? If they want to live through the crisis, they'll have to think fast and move quickly. In a world where all the rules have changed and savagery is law, those who hesitate pay with their lives. The Kindle edition of The Economic Collapse Chronicles is now available as a box set. Buy your copy at Amazon.com today.